the book of the Revelation. We're going to be in chapter 9, Revelation chapter number 9. I'll give you an opportunity to find Revelation chapter number 9. This Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the Ten Commandments. We'll be on commandment number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we'll talk about that some. We'll talk about how that we should not use God's name vainly and how that we should use God's name victoriously. You know, something about the commandments that we need to remember is every time God says what you shouldn't do, that means that he's inferring what you should do. And every time God says what you should do, he's inferring what you shouldn't do. Every commandment has a positive and a negative. And so we'll look at God's name. What a name. What a name. Or should I say, what names? Many are the names of our God. But can I tell you, there is none greater than the name that is above every name. And that name is Jesus. I just well up inside when I just hear the name of Jesus. I tell you, the name of Jesus changed everything. It's a name that is loved by many and hated by many as well. But it is a name that every knee will bow to one day and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. And I'm glad that I have made that confession in my life. I know Jesus as my Savior, and I trust that you do. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you have your Bible open, to Revelation chapter number 9. While you're standing to your feet, don't forget this Sunday morning, being Sunday school, will be our Sunday school promotion. We have big days for a lot of our children. It's a big day. Now we're not only promoting in children, we're promoting in adults. We got any adults that turned 65 this year? We're going to promote you right into the glory days. Amen. But it's a big day primarily for the children. And anytime that the children have a day, we make it a big day for them. We want our children to know that they are not a part of the church of tomorrow. They're a part of the church of today. Now, I say it often, they may be part of the leadership of the church tomorrow, but they're just as much a part of the church today as you and I are. And we want to recognize them as such. And so we celebrate their accomplishment, their achievement, and many will be promoted this Sunday morning. So you be at Sunday school at 9:45. Revelation chapter number 9. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. We'll read down to the remainder of the close of the chapter, which is verse number 21. And then I have just a few words that I'd like to give you that I hope will stir up some thought as we continue on this thought of the tribulation period. Now, before we read, I want you to look this way. How many of you can remember the 21 judgments that we said that are going to take place from the time of the rapture of the church to the revelation of Jesus Christ? You know, there's two big events that's going to take place concerning Christ and his people. The rapture of the church is when he comes to get us. The revelation is when he comes with us. You remember the 21 things? They're broke down in 3 groups of 7. Who can name at least one, if not all 3? Brother James? 7 seals, the 7 seal judgments. The 7 trumpet judgments, in which are the last 3 of those, are 3 woes, and we're going to look at the 2 of those tonight. And then the 7 vile judgments. 21 judgments that God is going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. And as Revelation 6:17 says, the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? What a time that's going to be. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. But I don't want to just rest in that. I want to be busy about our Father's business and telling people that Jesus is coming. Get in while the day of grace is still open. Revelation 9, let's begin our reading in verse number 12. Revelation 9, verse number 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded. This is the sixth trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. That in itself is just mind-boggling. It's just, we couldn't even, I know I can't. I can't get my mind around it. I'm sad that it's going to happen in one regard, but I know that, as we shall see here in just a moment, the people that are going to be a part of this unfortunate event, they gnash their teeth in anger and blasphemy toward the God of heaven. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. The scripture says in verse number 16, it says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. If you are not quick on math, I'll do it for you. If you want to fact check me, you can do so. 200 million horsemen. And I heard the number of them. Verse 17 says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let's pray. Father, would you help me and to relay into the people what you've put in my heart through the study of your word, and would you help your people that our hearts would be open. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we could have understanding of your word and realize the hour in which we live. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. God, help us to awake unto righteousness and to occupy until you come. God, help me. God, help us to be busy about your business. The souls of men, women, boys, and girls are at stake. Help us to realize what is at stake in these days in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. I'm just going to highlight some things. I want to give you some words that I hope will get the wheels in your head turning a little bit. The first word I want to give you is prayer. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 13. Verse number 13, the scripture says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. I don't know what you know about the golden altar and the tabernacle, but the golden altar was a place, it was the altar of incense. It was a place where the high priest went and where he offered incense, which was offered up to God, which is a sign of prayer. And we talked a little bit about prayer last week and how that even in this day, God is going to remember the prayers of his people. Now, I want you to go back with me just for a moment, and I want to show you how through this, go back to chapter 5, through this whole section here, God keeps mentioning prayers and how that not one prayer that you pray, now listen to me now, not one prayer of the saint of God that we pray in Jesus' name falls on a deaf ear. The Bible said, look in chapter 5 of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8, and the scripture says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, I'm in Revelation 5 verse 8, having every one of them harps, now watch this, and the golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Look, if you would, in chapter number 6 of Revelation. Turn over, if you have to, depending on the print of your Bible. In chapter number 6 of the Revelation, we have another mention in verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said of them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. It's saying they're praying unto God and they're saying, how long? God, how long is it going to be before you honor and you answer our prayer? Now, I don't know that there might not be somebody here tonight. I don't know. And I've said this before. You know, the prayer that is delayed doesn't mean that it's denied. Just because God hasn't answered your prayer the way you want to see it answered, or the way that God has in store to answer it, God hasn't given you an affirmative, he hasn't confirmed something, that doesn't mean God has not answered your prayer. That's just like he's telling these folks here, just wait. Look what he said now. This would be my encouragement to you. Notice in verse number 11, this is what he said, rest yet for a little season. You know, just wait. Why? Because God always answers the prayers of his people. That's why. Just because you haven't gotten an answer as of yet doesn't mean you're not going to get an answer. See, God answers prayer when he sees fit to answer it, and he answers it the way he sees fit to answer it, and God knows what's best for us. Amen. God knows what's best. You look to chapter number 8. Look there if you would. In chapter number 8, look in verse number 3. We're talking about prayer. Listen, if you're not careful in this day in which we live with so many modern conveniences, with so many things that we have, with the way that things are taking place, prayer will become something that we neglect in our lives. And I just want to encourage you, don't stop praying. Well, it looks like that things are spiraling out of control. We're in a moral free fall in our country, preacher. Yeah, I know that. But don't you stop praying. Well, now it looks like that everything's just predetermined and things are going to happen this way. Well, listen, the Bible says pray always. Pray without ceasing. Don't you stop praying now. That's what the devil wants you to do. Now listen to you, preacher. Listen, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to stop praying. Don't you stop praying. You keep on praying. Amen. Don't you let the devil stop you from praying. You say, well, I'm praying. It seems like the more I pray, the worse it gets. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Say amen with me. Sometimes it does. But I'm here to tell you now, God's faithful. And God answers the prayers of his people, brethren. God answers the prayers of his people. And don't you let the devil or any one of his little imps tell you any different. God answers the prayers of his people. Look here in chapter 8, just for a moment, in verse number 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. See, there's a lot of talk about this in heaven. There's a lot of talk about prayer. And God is saying, listen, folks, on earth, through the revelation of his word, don't you stop praying. Even when things seem like they're out of control, God is in control. And when it seems like that God is not in charge, God is in charge, and you still keep praying. Don't stop praying. Look at verse number 3 one more time of chapter 8. Another angel came, stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, how many of you here tonight say, preacher, I identify as a saint? Raise your hand. I identify as a saint. Okay. Some of you not raising your hand. If you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, I don't think so. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. See, in my eyes, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But can I tell you, in God's eyes, I'm a saint. Amen. That's right. Did you know in God's eyes, you're a saint?
That's right. That's what God does to sinners. And the scripture says that right here, the prayers, look at it in verse number 3 now, the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. That's where your prayers are. Your prayers just don't evaporate and disappear. God hears, answers, and stores your prayers. That's what the scripture teaches. We're going to look a little more into this Sunday morning about the book of remembrance. You know what the book of remembrance is? Have you studied Malachi? God has a book of remembrance. We hear a lot about the Revelation, the book of Revelation, which is the entire Bible. We hear a lot about the book of redemption, the Lamb's book of life. But God has a book of remembrance. You'll want to be in that book. Amen, I'm telling you. So we go to chapter 9 now, verse number 13. And he says that there was a voice and there was an angel. There were four horns on that altar, which is a sign of prayer. The priest put the blood on that. Can I tell you, it's because of the blood of Jesus that our prayers get through. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? That's right. Our prayers would bounce off the walls if it were not for the shed blood of Jesus. But I'm glad that when that priest went in, he always sprinkled the horns of the altar with the blood. And that was a sign that God, through the blood, now will hear the pleas and the prayers of his people. I'm glad that the ear of God is open to my prayer, aren't you? Listen, God hears our prayer, so you keep praying. Now, the devil wants you to believe that God's not listening to your prayer, but I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. How many of you can say, I've witnessed that, preacher? Raise your hand. I have witnessed the fact that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. We could start right here and go all around this room. Listen, wrap it around this building, around this county, that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. And yet there's a liar, and it's the devil. He's the father of lies, and he wants you to stop praying. He wants you to believe the lie, which is God will not answer your prayer. Now, God will answer your prayer. If there's one reason that you ought to pray, it's because God commanded. If there's another, it's because God hears and answers your prayer. You'll get a lot through prayer. You will. And I'm glad that everything that is at God's disposal is available to us through prayer. So the first thing I want you to notice here is there's prayer. Now, I find it interesting that in the next verse, in verse number 14, the Bible says, saying to the sixth angel. Now, what's saying? Who's saying? Look again at verse 13. There's a voice coming from the altar. This is interesting to me. It's as if God said, I'm going to answer your prayers, people. Listen, look at it again, verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice. Do you see that? There's a voice. And the voice is coming from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. There's a voice coming from the altar where the prayers of the saints are. And this voice in verse number 14 is saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, in verse 14, look at it, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. This is a word I want you to think about, power. Do you see what's happening here? In just a moment, God is getting ready to unleash these four angels, which unleashes 200 million horsemen. Say, what am I to get out of that? Well, amazement for one. But it just lets me know how much God is in control. Now, I want to remind you of something. As I read this, I'm just going to remind you of what God reminded me of. Satan, wickedness, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world will do nothing until God says you can do it. Satan couldn't touch Job until he got permission from God. Satan told Peter, the Lord told Peter, Satan hath desired to sift thee. Didn't he say that? Yes. Now, there's nothing that can take place in your life. Satan can't come against you. Satan can't bring something into my life without the permission of the Lord. I want you to remember that. Now, when I look at this, in verse number 14, I see something this is just... Again, it's mind-boggling. There are these four angels, And if I understand the scripture correctly, it says that this sixth angel in verse 14 blew his trumpet, and when he did, it loosed these four angels which had been bound in the great river Euphrates. I don't know who these angels are. I've read where people say, well, it's this angel, it's that angel. I just know they're bad news. I know the scripture teaches that there's angels that kept not their first estate. That's in Jude. You can read in Jude, verse number 6. 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verse number 4, talks about angels that are being reserved unto the judgment or the great day of judgment. All right? These are not those that are devils who run upon this earth. They're in the bottomless pit. Some are in Tartarus. And you say, well, what's all that mean? Well, I'll just give you a little bit of insight. Look, if you would. I think some people think, look, go back in the first part of chapter number 9, and while you're finding, just if you might have to flip a page or not, we're going to look at something here where the bottomless pit is open. Now, some people, in their minds, the world always has Satan, you know, in hell, and a lot of devils in hell, and, can I tell you, Satan's roaming this earth. Peter said he's like a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour, right? And there's principalities. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, if they're in hell, we can't wrestle with them on earth. Amen. They're here. I'm telling you, they were here in the days of the Lord Jesus, those devils. He cast them out, a legion of them, in the man that was in Gadara. And so here in chapter number 9, I want you to notice something in verse number 1. It says, the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And you say, was that a real star? Well, notice what the scripture says. To him, he puts a personality. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened that bottomless pit. And there arose smoke out of the pit, and smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened. And it talks about all those that came out in verse number 3. They came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. And it talks about the spiritual wickedness. Now, this is real, brethren. This is not some Hollywood movie. One day, the inhabitants of hell are going to be released upon this earth. And when you get over it deeper into chapter 9 and verse number 14, if you'll go back there, when this angel sounds, these four angels are going to be loosed that have been bound. I don't know how long they've been bound. I can tell you something. If I understand the scripture correctly, if you'll look, let's read on, scripture interprets itself. I was going to take some time and just go through some things about Euphrates, but I'm not going to. The river Euphrates is one interesting study in the Bible. Okay? You go to the Garden of Eden, you have the river there, the river Euphrates. Okay? You know where the river Euphrates is. You know that where it borders and how long it runs. And you have how that God has used that river to protect Israel many times. And at some point, that river is going to dry up so that the armies of Antichrist can come across it. And you read Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, 38, 39. I'm telling you, God is never wrong, brethren. God is never wrong. The Bible is always right. It's always right. It helps us know a little bit about Bible geography. Now, I don't know all there is about Bible geography. Some names have changed. And I do know Iraq is modern-day Babylon. I believe that with all of my heart. And when you look all that's going on there in those Middle Eastern countries, better things are lining up. There's things that are coming. By the way, you can research this, okay? Did you know that, I forgot how many years ago it was, the leader of China, and you say, well, how do you feel about China? Well, I want to see them get saved. I want to see all people get saved, don't you? God's not willing that any should perish. The leader of China said that they have this mass army and that he is ready. This has been several years ago. He is ready to confront the world with the largest army of boots on the ground. Now listen to me. You look this up. that has ever been faced by mankind. Can you take one guess of the exact number that he said this army would be? You ready? Look in verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's what he said. But he said 200 million. That's what he said. Go back and look it up. I don't think he just pulled it out of there. You say, well, I think he might be a Bible reader. I don't think so. I think he's a communist and an atheist. And that everything's in the hands of God. Everything. Everything. And so when I read this, I see here's these angels. Are you in verse 14? They're bound there. And now God says, okay, it's time to loose them. Why? Look at verse number 15. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. What an amazing statement. Now, some people read that and they say, well, you know, that's about 391 days, 12 months or a year and a month and a day and an hour. That would be a year, 360 days, 365. And then you've got a month, that'd be 300, what? Somebody help me. 95. And then you got a day, that's 396. And then you got an hour. Don't think that's what it means at all. I think it means that they were bound here until the time that God said, this day right here, that's the day they're going to be loose. You know why? Because God sits on his throne and calls all the shots. Amen. God's in control of everything. You believe that? You see, you can live without fear when you believe that. You can sleep well at night when you believe that. Now, I'm not suggesting that you live foolishly and haphazardly, but I am suggesting that there's a lot of people worrying and fretting over a lot of things that need not be worried and fretted about. God's in control. Purpose. That's the third word. So we looked at this word, prayer. And then power. Power. God has the power. So it looks like it looks like Satan has the power, preacher. It looks like Satan has the power. Satan's got the power that God allows him to use. And that's it. One day he's going to bind him, just like he did these four angels. He is. We'll get to that in Revelation 20. Let's look at verse number 15. It says the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. Now, this, could you imagine being John just for a moment writing this down? There was not even 200,000. There wasn't 200 million people on the earth. You know, when John was writing this, he was probably thinking, wow. You know, there's a lot of things John was writing about. He was probably thinking, what's happening here? What's the purpose? Let's look at this just for a moment. I want you just to think with me, all right? Got your thinking cap on? The Bible says in verse number 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire. You think that when this battle was fought, there's going to be 200 million horses and men on those with breastplates of fire, and Jason, white hot or blue hot color that's on their breastplates, brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. You think that's going to really be what it is? Look at what it says. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. You know, I'm not saying God couldn't do that. I think what I do. I try to always do this. I'm going to tell you what I think. I can't prove this. I don't know what's happening here. I really don't. But I believe what's happening here is God is telling a man back many, many centuries ago about nuclear and atomic and high-tech warfare. And he's writing it in the language and the mindset that he has there on the Isle of Patmos. And he's saying this is devastating. He's saying that in verse number 18, that by these three, now look at it, was a third part of the men killed. A third part. Who can give me the population of the earth today? It's a lot of people, isn't it? If this were to happen today, now I don't know how many people are going out the rapture. Thank God we won't be a part of that. But let's just say that there's 6 billion people, 5 billion. I don't know. I don't know how many people there'll be. We'll make it 6 for numbers' sake. 2 billion people, brethren. 2 billion people. He said, he broke it down. God is so in control. Notice what the scripture says in verse 18. That by these three was a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone. I'm in verse 18, which issued out of their mouths. There's no telling what John was seeing and what God was showing him. Could be chemical, biological warfare. I don't know what God is showing John. I know this. It's devastating. And this world is ripening for it. I have a quick thought that I'm going to give you other than this as I bring this to a close. But I want you to think about something with me. We look around today. Sometimes we forget this, brethren. And I want you to try to keep this on your mind, okay? There's things that are happening in our world today that we just can't get our mind around it. Just wonder, what would cause a person to do this, or what would cause a person to do that? I'll tell you what causes people to do this and that. Devils. It's very real. Devil possession is very real. We used to think of people being filled with devils over in third world countries where they worshiped idols. But can I tell you that the population of devils and the entry of devils have crept into our country, and now it's on every hand. There are people that are opening up their lives to the influence of devils and have absolutely no clue what they're doing. I want you to turn to chapter 16 just for a moment. And God said, hey, I want you to know this, church. Now, church, listen to me. The devil's going to try to sneak in to your home. So ain't no devil going to come in my front door. You might bring him in. He might not have to force himself in. You might bring him in on a CD or a DVD. You listening? You might bring him in on a media player. You might bring him in on the web. Amen. He won't have to sneak in the back door or break in a window. There's many people inviting him and them in and bringing them in. You be careful. You be careful. Notice, if you would, in chapter 16, look at verse number 14. God said, I want you to remember something, church. The devil is a person of war and destruction. He's not someone to be winked at or to make jest, folly, jokes. He's real, and he has his biggest targets aimed at you, aimed at your family. And he's coming after you hard. And if you're not suited up in the whole armor of God in these days in which we live, you're just liable to become a fatality on the battlefield. Oh, not me, preacher. I know, listen, I've heard them say that as they were going down. It's the strength of God. It's the whole armor of God that we need to run to. Jesus is my refuge. Amen. You can't stand in the flesh now. Revelation 16, verse number 14, look at it. For they are the spirits of devils. Don't know that you can get any clearer than this. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, watch it now, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole earth to gather them to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. They have one purpose. Do battle with God. Do battle with God's people. Tear down God's people. Tear down God's church. Tear down God's way. And they're entering into the leaders, the kings of the earth. And they're coming after you. Say, what can I do? You can fight the good fight of faith. You can put on the whole armor of God. Amen. That's right. I want to close with this. This will be our final word. So we have prayer. You keep praying. We have power. Don't forget now who has the power. You say Satan is strong. He's a weakling compared to God. Now he's strong compared to you. Don't go out there, you know, don't charge hell with a water pistol now. You won't make it, I'm telling you. I know sometimes we get fired up and we say, well, where's the devil? Where's the devil? You don't want to know where he's at. By the way, he'll find you. I mean, don't, you know, so just relax and understand what you're into and where your power's at. Number three, purpose. God has a purpose. Number four, all right, pride. This is where we're going to close. Verse number 19 through 21. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. That's talking about the things that are going to come about. I believe it's warfare. I can't prove it. I believe it's a form of chemical and biological, and I believe it's warfare on some level. Then it says this in verse number 20 and 21. I want you to notice this. Now, how do you think that we would respond to this if we were, if something like this were to happen? I remember when 9/11 happened. How do we remember 9/11? Okay, remember how humbling that was? It was humbling. It was humbling. Can you imagine an event to take place where one-third of the population of Earth killed. One-third. Through an event that just wipes people out, wiping them out left and right. And yet here's men's attitude. Not humbled. Not humbled. Don't miss this now. They're not humbled. They're not ready to repent. Because there's a force behind them. The light, the salt's been taken out. We're out of here. This world's going to be filled with demon-possessed people. I'm telling you, it's going to be a terrible place, brethren. It's terrible. And the scripture says in verse number 20 of chapter number 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. You see what the people on the earth's going to be doing when we leave here? They're not going to just be possessed by devils. They're going to be worshiping them. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God said that. They're going to be worshiping devils. And they're not going to repent. You know what the Bible says that people do when they get to hell? They gnash their teeth. They're not gnashing their teeth in pain. They're gnashing their teeth in anger. You ever seen somebody get so angry they gnash their teeth? They're angry at God. Can I tell you that we have a world that is angry at God right now? They're angry. They're angry at Christians. They're angry at the Bible. They're angry at church. And it's demonic. It's demonic. You find yourself seething in anger toward the things of God. You can know one thing for sure. There's devil activity in your life. The Bible says in verse number 20, it says that they would not repent, that they should not worship devils nor idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, of wood, neither which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. Now, I don't have time to go into it. We'll do it another time. There's a reason that those things are named. Look up the word sorceries. It's pharmakia. It's drugs. America is drugged. Drugged. Got to take a pill for everything. Got to get hyped up, smoked up, run up, shot up, cranked up, jacked up to do anything in life these days. I feel for people. I've been there. Listen, I know what it is. And some of you have. Some of you have family members that are. And we need to pray for deliverance in their lives. And I'm glad that God can deliver them, aren't you? I'm glad that He can. as we stand to our feet tonight, it's very troubling. It's very troubling to know that these days are coming. So I bring us back full circle. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't quit serving. Don't quit witnessing. Don't quit passing out tracts. Don't quit serving God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be faithful. Be faithful. Say, preacher, how are we going to win them? One at a time. One at a time. Let's bow our heads together.